Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin on Christmas and on the conversion of Paul. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Christmas and conversion of Paul sermons.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is a key chapter in the Old Testament. This 35th chapter of Isaiah, where the ransomed are returning. It's leaping over so much history through the cross of Jesus Christ right to the fulfillment of the promises that God has been making all along. This idea of God redeeming his people, ransoming his people, and then bringing them back to himself is huge in the Old Testament. And he doesn't only redeem his Old Testament people. He redeems the whole world and all of the nations as well. Joining us to talk about Christ in the Old Testament, as he does every week with us, and to talk about Isaiah 35, the ransomed shall return, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He's host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
Oh, it's great to be here, Todd.
Now, we do this because we talk about Christ in the Old Testament, but you want to point us, at least initially, to the gospel reading that goes along with this Old Testament reading. What is it? It involves John the Baptist, but what's the connection there?
Well, the key thing here is that John the Baptizer is the voice crying out in the wilderness. He's the one who's preparing the way for Yahweh. He's making straight in the desert a highway for our God. And we get this in Isaiah chapter 40, and this is what the baptizer came to do. He came to declare to Israel that the promised Messiah is now here, the one in whom he would see the Spirit descending in upon him in the form of a dove would be the anointed Christ. And so this is what the baptizer came to do, to proclaim the kingdom of heaven is now here, and everybody repent, and everything's going to be great, and it's going to be glorious because now we have the kingdom. Well, where we have our gospel text open up is that John is now in prison. And so this doesn't look like the coming kingdom. And where is all this vengeance and recompense of God that the baptizer was proclaiming at the Jordan River in the wilderness? That we are to repent, that we are to bear fruit. This whole thing is coming to a head, and here, behold, is the Messiah. He's the coming one we've been waiting for. And so now he is in prison, and he sends his disciples to Jesus to ask this simple question. Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? So this is the baptizer in prison. And again, it does not appear like God's kingdom is coming in all of its glory like it should, that everything should be put right, everything should be given its proper place, and justice should be delivered. But instead, we have one suffering for his proclamation. And so what we have is the response of Jesus to this inquiry. And Jesus says this, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. So Jesus in this response says, yes, I am the one who has come to restore creation, that we are seeing in the midst of what Jesus is doing, bringing the kingdom through his word and his action. We are seeing the future reality that will be found in the resurrection of the body is breaking forth in present time as you see these bodies being healed. Now, of course, as Jesus lays all this out, he's talking about leprosy, which should have something that should mark in your head. Well, now, wait a second. Moses was that prophet who had that ability to cure leprosy by taking his leprous hand, putting it in his cloak, and taking it out, healing it. And of course, Moses heals Miriam, who has leprosy. This should have been a red flag that Moses said one would come like him. And then, of course, you have Elijah and Elisha raising the dead, and Jesus is raising the dead, and Jesus is the one who's anointed to bring good news to the poor, just like Isaiah 61 said. And Jesus is the stone of offense, like Isaiah 8 said. And then here, Jesus really wants us to focus back on this passage for today's Old Testament text, which is Isaiah 35, which right before the eyes of all the people, they see this happening. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. So here Jesus is doing exactly what Isaiah 35 said the Messiah has come to do.
So just to kind of put a bow on John the Baptist's connection here, if in fact John the Baptist is either entertaining personal doubts or trying to alleviate the doubts of any of his disciples, whatever the case may be, the expectation is, look, when the Messiah shows up, he is going to go straight to judgment, and it's going to look like judgment. Jesus says, actually, it's going to look a lot like what Isaiah said. That's what I'm doing. The judgment is coming, yes, the recompense is coming, but it's going to look like what I'm doing right now. That's the answer he sends back with the disciples to John.
Exactly. So he points John the Baptist and, of course, his disciples back to Isaiah the text, so that we know that God himself will come and save you. And this is exactly what God himself is doing. He is the coming one. He has come to save you. He's come to bring restoration. And all of this deliverance will take place as Jesus is now restoring those who have eyes that can't see are now being opened. The ears that cannot hear are now being opened, which shows us forth towards this whole resurrection of the body, which is ultimately what will take place when creation is restored. There will be no more sin. There will be no more death. But yet we still live in the midst of this fallen world, and we still see these things. But Jesus is already showing that he can do exactly what he says he came to do.
You mentioned Isaiah 40. What's the connection between the passage we're looking at here, 35 and 40?
Well, these two passages are directly connected. Now, of course, Isaiah 40 is that passage where it opens up, "Comfort, comfort, my people," says your God. And so this is a key that we understand what kind of a God we have. We have the kind of a God that comes into fallen creation to bring reconciliation. We have the kind of God who comes to bring comfort. And so this is the message that is to be proclaimed in Isaiah 40. And the messenger who is sent out to proclaim this, of course, is John the Baptizer. He's the voice crying out in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Lord, making straight in the desert a highway for our God. And so this direct connection between 40, which John the Baptizer is sent to do, is also seen in chapter 35. So that 35 opens up giving comfort to the people of God, saying, "Rejoice with joy and singing." And then you're to say to the anxious heart, "Be strong, fear not." And so you have the word of God bringing comfort, being spoken by the messenger of God. And so in both chapter 35 and 40, this is what God has come to do, to give the anxious heart comfort. And then you continue on and you see this direct correlation that in chapter 40, well, the voice crying out is he's making straight in the desert a highway. Well, that's the same imagery that we have in chapter 35, where it opens up and says, "The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus, and a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness." And so you have this direct correlation that this is exactly what God is doing to restore creation, that the holiness of Christ is bestowed upon us so that we will not be unclean, but we will be clean, for his blood cleanses us from all iniquity. And you won't have the fool on the road because now you have the knowledge of salvation that's seen in Christ. And this is what the prophet was supposed to do. The baptizer was sent to proclaim the knowledge of salvation that's found in Jesus. And so in both chapter 40 and 35, you have that the Kavod Yahweh, the glory of the Lord, shall be revealed. Now the Son, the second person of the Trinity, is the Kavod Yahweh, the weightiness of God. And so in chapter 40, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together." And in 35, it opens up by saying in verse 2, "They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God." So both have been sent to proclaim the word of God, and in that word of God, you have the revealing of who Jesus is and what Jesus does. He comes to bring comfort to the anxious heart. So in both passages, you have this message of comfort in chapter 40 that the Zion, the people of God, this herald of good news is to be sent out, lifting up your voice, saying, O Jerusalem, have strength, lift it up, fear not. And then you say to the cities, what? Behold your God. That's the message of comfort. Our God is with us. It's the same message in chapter 35, where they shall see the glory of the God, the majesty of our God, and what's the word that's spoken? It is, behold, your God. Therefore, be strong and fear not.
Now, there's this concept here that I think we'll also find in 40 and 35 in Isaiah's prophecy, of, and it's a term that we don't use anymore very much, but it is found here in both of these passages. Recompense. What does it mean? How would you break it down for us in both Isaiah 40 and Isaiah 35?
Well, and see, this is when the baptizer comes on the scene, and he's saying, repent, for the recompense and the vengeance of the Lord will come. And so you have this message of law to the uncircumcised heart, the one who is in a false security that I'm fine in my sin. And so it's the vengeance and the recompense of the Lord will come. And so in chapter 40, you have this message, behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. And behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. So that's chapter 40. But it's also the same message that's given in chapter 35. In which you're to proclaim, say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He himself will come and save you. And so this whole idea of this recompense and vengeance, it is the Lord alone that vengeance belongs to. So that's why throughout the scripture we're taught not to take vengeance upon our own desires, that we in a fury try to take vengeance and avenge something, but instead it is the Lord who takes vengeance, the Lord who punishes, inflicts retribution, payback, he brings justice. So this isn't a negative term, this is a positive term. This is good news for the people of God because he will come to make things right. The good news is the afflicted will no longer be under the oppression. The oppression will come to an end.
Does it also have that element of judgment, both law and gospel? That is, because payback, in our modern parlance, that's kind of a loose way of talking about recompense or vengeance. Payback usually is understood as, I'm going to get you back for whatever you did. It is punishment or retribution. We're just using a lot of different words that mean the same thing. Right. But does it also have the force of, you mentioned it has a force of the gospel, that is making amends, making things right again. Does it also have that force of judgment?
Well, and you see this in the connection between Isaiah 35 and the previous chapter, which was Isaiah 34. Isaiah 34 is a very, very heavy dose of law. It's all gloom and doom because of the wrath that is to come because of sin. And so back in Isaiah chapter 34 at verse 8, here's where you have this message that the Lord has a day of vengeance, a year of recompense. And so this will take place as bad news for the unrepentant, unbelieving, the not God's people type of people. And so that's what you have in chapter 34. These are the people who resist the work of the Holy Spirit, who refuse to listen to the word of God, and try to prevent God's kingdom from coming. So for them, this is bad news that you have recompense and vengeance because justice will be met. And so the wages of sin is death. And so this is all of chapter 34, is this doom and gloom. It's the law that this will take place for the unbelieving, unrepentant. But the recompense, it has this wonderful good news for the people of God. So that's why in chapter 34 it says that the recompense will be for the cause of Zion. So that every time we have this understanding of good news for God's people, that oppression will cease, that means that the oppressor must be stopped. The one who is causing the tyranny, the slavery, must come to an end. And so it's good news for the oppressed, but it's bad news for the oppressor. So it's good news for the repentant, believing God's people type of people who continue to listen to God's word. And so that's why to God's people it says, your God will come with vengeance and recompense. God himself will come, and what will he do? He will save you.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. When we come back, 10 more minutes with him. We're doing Christ in the Old Testament, our ongoing weekly series on this Thursday afternoon, December the 12th. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. By the way, you'll find a link to Redeemer Theological Academy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. More Christ in the Old Testament right after this. Thanks to our listeners, Issues Etc. has operated in the black for 5 consecutive years. With 3 weeks left in 2013, we're $44,000 short of making our budget. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Then shall the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing.
Well, that's Isaiah 35, verses 5 and 6 from the London Philharmonic Orchestra and Choir, The Eyes of the Blind Be Open from Handel's Messiah. We're talking about the 35th chapter of Isaiah, Christ in the Old Testament, The Ransom Shall Return. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. Now, we were talking before the break about the connections between Isaiah 40 and Isaiah 35. There's another connection that you wanted to point out, and that was a connection between this 35th chapter of Isaiah and the book of, well, a very famous chapter in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. What's that connection?
Well, again, with this understanding of the baptizer coming on the scene, proclaiming the coming of the kingdom of God, and then you look around at fallen creation and say, this doesn't feel like the kingdom of God. It still feels like there's pain and suffering and death. Well, it's the same kind of an understanding that you have in Hebrews. After coming right after that famous chapter of Hebrews 11, that by faith, by faith, by faith, encouraging us to continue to live by faith, because that's how the righteous live. The righteous live by faith in the midst of this fallen creation, looking for the hope to come, that is the resurrection of the body that we find in Christ Jesus in his resurrected body. And so what takes place is this connection between these two passages is that in Hebrews chapter 12, this chapter from Isaiah is quoted and it's referenced. And specifically, it's this one verse that says to us that we should lift up our drooping hands and strengthen our weak knees. Because this is the idea that you go through this life and everything is just, you're anxious in heart, you're looking around and you're saying, it doesn't feel like I have God's favor. It feels like God's wrath is being poured out upon me. And so in Isaiah 35, again, we are to set our eyes on Yahweh. Yahweh is the one that we are to behold, for God himself will come and he will save us. And so we're to look to see the glory of the Lord, the Kavod Yahweh, which is the Son. And so you have the same kind of connection in Hebrews chapter 12, in which we're being encouraged to continue in steadfastness in this life and not to give up faith, not to give up hope. And so in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, looking to Jesus. Again, with this passage in Isaiah 35, it's behold your God. What kind of a God do we have? We have a God who is with us in the midst of our affliction, our suffering, a God who suffers for us, the one who continues to come to us, and the one that continues to encourage us. So in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And so consider him who endured from sinners such hostility, what for? So that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Because Christ himself came to suffer for you, and he suffered in the midst of this fallen creation at the hands of fallen humanity. And so in chapter 12 of Hebrews, it goes on to say, for the moment, all discipline seems like it's a pain, it's painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of the righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So that in the way of the cross, we see all of these afflictions and all of this suffering that we have, and we actually can count it as a joy that we are suffering in Christ, and Christ is suffering with us. Because it's in these circumstances that the Lord is making us in the image of the Son, so that we are like Christ. And so this is where this passage then says, therefore, lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, taking us back to Isaiah 35. And then continuing on in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it says, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. And so again, it's behold your God, the one who comes to redeem you, the one who comes to save you. And, of course, in Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about how the earth and the heaven will be shaken yet another time, but it assures us with the comfort that the kingdom that we have received by the inheritance through Christ, it cannot be shaken. We are heirs of this kingdom, and we should not fear. And so this is, again, these passages from Isaiah where it says, say to those who are anxious in heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God himself will he come and save you. And so this is the eyes that we're to set upon the Lord. And so he continues to teach us. He continues to speak to us. He continues to enlighten us with his word so that our eyes would be opened and our ears would be open and that we would continue to walk in his light.
You mentioned there that verse in Hebrews 12:14 where it talks about the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. We really do need to make it quite clear. What is that holiness without which no one sees the Lord?
Well, and this is the holiness of Christ. And so this is, as in Isaiah chapter 35, we have this whole understanding of the holy highway, or if you will, the way of holiness. Well, Christ himself is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. So he is the way of holiness, and in him we are holy. And so we learn to walk in his light, and his holiness is then bestowed upon us. So we are reckoned holy because he is holy. And so that we know that where we are in him is a new creation, and therefore there's no condemnation. So all these things that we experience in this life shouldn't shake us. Instead, we should draw our comfort and seek him so that we rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. That's what we are to do, not to rejoice in our circumstance or our own predicament or our own actions, our own deeds, but to rejoice in Him who is with us in our circumstance, in His actions and in His deeds and His holiness that He bestows upon us, assuring us that we are now clean, that we now have access to the Father through Him in the Spirit.
Finally, then, to come back where we were at the beginning, to poor John languishing in prison, he sends this question to Jesus, and Jesus returns with this answer. Is Jesus essentially saying to John, his disciples, to us, that everything that Isaiah saw by way of this vision and this prophecy in chapter 35 and elsewhere is actively being fulfilled by him, by Jesus?
Yes. And so that we are to continue to abide in Christ. And how do we abide in Christ? We abide in His Word. We continue to be taught by Christ. We continue to hear His Word because faith comes through the preaching of His Word. And so that we continue to listen to Christ. And so you have this passage with John the Baptizer, whether he himself is wondering and perplexed and not sure, or whether his disciples are. Either way, he points the disciples back to the word of Jesus so that Jesus can give to us the certainty and the assurance that he is the one who is to come. He is God himself who will come and will save us. So that we have this passage at the end of a Revelation in which Jesus declares to us in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of persecution for his name's sake, in this fallen world, he says in chapter 22 of Revelation, "Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, last, the beginning and the end." And so that we have our certainty in Christ, who is the judge, who will bring the judgment. And all judgment has been handed over to him. We already know the judgment, that he was judged on the cross in our stead, and then his righteousness is declared to be ours.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Next week, we'll talk with Brian, finding Christ in Isaiah chapter 7, the sign of Emmanuel. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
Oh, it's great to be here, Todd, and to talk about our Savior who has redeemed us by his blood so that we can sing and be joyful.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll have Ellie Caro review the book Jesus Feminist by Sarah Bessie. Also tomorrow, we'll play Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December is a great one for Christmas. Now, this is for those who want to delve deeply, and I mean deeply and carefully, into the question of when Jesus was really born. That's the title of the book, When Was Jesus Really Born? Early Christianity, the Calendar, and the Life of Jesus. This book has just about everything that a student of history, a student of the calendar, and a student of Scripture would want by way of the raw data to determine the birth date of Jesus and its significance for the life of the church, the early church, and for the church today. When was Jesus really born? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December. When was Jesus really born? 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is.
5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.